Welcome to Wine About History. I'm your host, Max Hamill. With me, as always, is Patty.
Hello, everybody.
And today, we are drinking Archibald Ferrer. Or is it Ferrer?
Could be.
No, it's be Ferrer. Well,
it's Argentinian.
It's Argentinian, so the Brazilians go huh with their R's, whereas in Spanish, they roll them. And it's very good. It's a Cabernet Sauvignon, 2016, Mendoza, Argentina. And I like it. There's a little too much acid for me, but I do like it.
Oh my gosh, it's so good. You can like taste the earth.
You can.
If that makes sense.
Oh, vino tinto. That's what that means. I've been listening to a Napoleonic fictional series, which I will not name, but they talk about vino tinto. I'm like, what the heck is vino tinto? I thought I knew wine because of the show. It's just Spanish for red wine.
It's delicious. It's good. It's like, yeah, it's very just, it's kind of earthy, minerally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's good. It's delightful.
I can taste the minerals. I probably just got my daily dose of iron.
No, I think you can. It's like those grapes just sucked up all that good earth they were growing in and gave us some good wine. So thank you, Argentina, for that one.
Gracias.
And Max, speaking of history, I think I would be remiss if I didn't say, like, we're living in history right now in these quote-unquote
unprecedented times.
It's like every email I get, every letter I get, every ad on TV, unprecedented. Like, we haven't heard that 85 trillion times now. But I get it. It really is.
No, it's precedent. There's been lots of diseases before.
But nothing quite like this in our age of how we live.
I could literally talk about smallpox for 5 hours.
Yeah, all kinds of diseases.
Or the Antonine Plague.
Oh,
which
we
wiped
could.
Out like we, half of Rome.
We
but
could
I won't
talk about plagues and diseases
because it's kind of gross.
They are gross, and this is a flu. But everyone's doing what's so cool is how everyone's like doing their thing and they're staying home and keeping apart and wearing masks and gloves. And so we're literally making history right now.
And we are
with
going
what
to be-
we're doing, and I think that's pretty cool.
I'm pouring myself another glass of this excellent wine.
Go for it.
And if you haven't any Argentinian listeners, buy it. You guys make really good wine. If there are any Brazilian listeners, please forgive me.
I have to say, I agree with that this is good wine. But anyway, so other than my little spiel about how we are making history right now, and, you know, 100 years from now, someone will go, oh, yeah, you know, there's that flu and people had to stay home from work. And, you know, we can all tell our grandchildren about it. Anyway, so let's talk about what we were going to talk about.
So today we're talking about a series of events that happened in the Kunai Peninsula of Alaska. And it's also called the Portlock Harbor, also known as Port Chatham area. And I believe their two communities are very close to each other. And what happened was, this town had a series of very strange murders, which caused the town in the 1950s to say, we're leaving. We're getting out of here. And the town was pretty much abandoned. And I think that should be a good, interesting subject to explore, be abandoned towns. We're going to kick it off with this one because it's so strange. In fact, it's so strange, I almost don't believe it. But I looked into it, and there have been articles about it, witnesses. And so there seems to be some veracity to this story. And I'll begin with one story. In 1920, a group of bow hunters found a houseboat on the Yukon River. It was run aground and covered in blood.
Ooh.
Now, they were locals, and they recognized the boat, and they found more blood along the boat's hull. The inside of the owner, Albert Pekka, was covered in blood and dying. And his final words were to describe his own murder.
Whoa.
Yes. So a night before, Albert was a loner. He lived by himself on the boat. And he was tied up away from most towns. He heard strange sounds. He got dressed, picked up his rifle, and saw a huge man-shaped thing covered in fur. And it rushed him, and he shot at it and missed because it's hard to hit a moving target. And it grabbed him and pounded him against the boat, picked him up like a child, and smacked him to the hull, the sides of the house, the cabin, everywhere, and just dropped him, didn't eat him, just left him for dead.
Didn't eat him.
Didn't eat him.
What kind of monster is it if he doesn't eat his victim?
Well, and so the bow hunters brought the story back, and that was one of the more disturbing parts of this tale.
So that's what he said as he was dying. He told those guys, this thing picked me up like I was a rag doll, tossed me around, smashed me, but didn't eat me.
Now, definitely take these stories with a grain of salt. And we'll go over it later. We'll go after. But the town was founded in 1786 by Nathaniel Portlock. And it was populated by Russian Americans, you know, or just Russians and the Aleut people, or also known as the native Aleutik. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. Someone wants to send me an IM on Twitter. Fine, I like good nomenclature. But the town grew, and in 1900, an American company set up a cannery and a fleet of fishing ships there. And they hired the native Aleut people and mixed Russian Aleuts to work there. And there the Aleut told stories of the, I'm going to pronounce this wrong, Nantinak, which was a supernatural beast that roamed the forest, and it looked like a man covered in fur, a giant man covered in fur.
So it's kind of like Sasquatch.
It is. It's their version. But it was malevolent, unless you appeased it.
Okay.
With food, you know, tools, anything you could give it. And one of the first real signs of trouble, this point I verified, that in 1905, the Aleut people all had to be evacuated. They all just left for a little while because of something in the forest.
Ooh.
Next year, 1906, they all came back to work in the cannery.
And this wasn't a bear.
This was not a bear. Now, bears can walk upright. Mm-hmm. I've seen them do it.
Yeah.
Not in person. That's why I'm alive. They can walk upright, but even, you know, hunters are pretty, we have to be very, very focused because it's such a dangerous hobby. In some cases, such as these people, they did it to live. They did it to eat.
Right. So they had to be good at it.
They had to be good at it, and they had to be very aware and self-aware and observant. And a bear walking on hind legs does not look like a person covered in fur. It looks like a bear walking on its hind legs. It's scary, but you go, that's a bear walking on its hind legs. Unless they're very far away. But none of these encounters, a lot of them were not from far away. They were very close.
Mm-hmm.
Close enough for murder.
Ooh.
So those are the 1930s that the murders began in Erdens. So some of these people who are there are still alive to this day. For instance, Melania Helen Kell, who I believe is Russian Aleut from that region. She was born there, and she remembers how her godfather was found dead.
Aww.
In 1931, Andrew Camlock was found murdered. His head was stoved in by a massive piece of logging equipment, and that would be too big or heavy for any single man to hit him with. In fact, it took four people to pick it up to bring it to where it belonged to after the murder. And it was 15 feet away from his body.
Wow.
Right along all the time these murders are happening. And it was kind of and some people debate, because it was kind of, I read a lot of articles about this, it was at the wrong angle, so it kind of swung and hit him, and that, it just didn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. The equipment was not something that's hung up in a tree that had enough momentum to hit him and then fly 15 feet away from him.
Gotcha.
And he was an experienced logger who knew what he was doing, so it would have been rare for him to be injured. So that's one of the more prominent murders, because it just sparked this whole, we found this guy dead, and to everyone that was there, it looked like something had picked it up, hit him in the head with it, and then thrown the piece of log equipment away.
Ooh.
Yeah. Melania also told a story of a spirit of a woman dressed in a long black clothes and would come out to these cliffs every night. And the dress was so long she would drag it, and she had a very white face and would disappear back into the cliffs.
So, like some kind of ghost or spirit or something?
And to this day, elders in nearby communities tell stories about this. And they remember when they were children that this stuff really did happen. For instance, Semyon Kivanskov said he remembers that the Nantink was blamed for this disappearance of an experienced gold miner.
The what was blamed?
The Nantink.
Oh, just what this
Nantinak.
Called?
Nantinak. Nantinak. Okay. I think it's how it's pronounced. Because okay. I know I've heard, I have an anthropology minor degree, and I've heard a lot of different languages, and it sound, that's what it sounds like it's pronounced.
Okay, so that's what this thing is called.
That's what this thing is called by the Aleut people, yes.
By the Aleut people, okay.
And he said he was up there digging for gold, and he had a little place up there, and then one day he just never came back, and no one found any sign of him.
Wow. So he could have fallen in a well.
He could have fallen and died. And so. But when you have a group of people that live there for hundreds, maybe a thousand years, they know where to look for a dead body, arguably.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to take the side that this thing exists and it was killing people. I'm just trying to keep as open a mind as possible.
Yeah.
So there's another story of Tom Larson, a sawmill owner who found the Nantinak destroying his fish back. So he ran home, got his rifle, pointed at it, and for some reason just couldn't pull the trigger.
How come?
No idea. He said he just couldn't.
He just couldn't. He couldn't. Wow.
Keep in mind,
so let him go.
These are eyewitness accounts that happened nearly 100 years ago with no evidence, too.
So... All right. Well, so couldn't he just, like, fire over its head, like, you know, a warning shot or something?
No, I don't know.
I guess we'll never know.
I don't have his exact debrief.
Can't get him on the phone and ask him.
No.
That's the thing about history. Some of it, when it's gone, it's gone.
It's gone. So tell your grandchildren those stories. And grandchildren, listen to those stories even if you don't want to hear them.
For sure.
Because 20 years from now, you'll be glad that someone told it to you. And that's why we're doing a podcast about that story.
Well, I think that whole movie, 1917, the guy that wrote it or directed it, there were stories from his grandfather.
Stories from his grandfather told him.
So,
yep.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So what really got bad is in 1940, a hunting party went missing. There were three competent, experienced hunters who were Aleut and knew the area very well. They went up to the Kunai Mountains hunting for sheep. Not exactly dangerous animals.
No. Pretty tame.
So they went bow hunting for the weekend, but on Monday, they didn't show up to work.
Why do you have to hunt sheep? Can't you just round them up? Aren't they domesticated animals?
These were wild sheep.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
There's wild goats, there's wild sheep, there's wild cows. In fact, there's wild cows in the highlands of Scotland that will kill you.
Yeah, I did not know that.
Those big shaggy cows,
yeah.
They're barely domesticated.
Oh, no,
they're
okay.
Mean.
Huh, how about that? Okay, learned something today. I learned something online about history.
Yeah, I mean, cows can be dicks, let's be honest here. I had a cow tried to eat my shirt once. Didn't even ask permission.
Mm-mm. Shame on him.
Mm-hmm. Well, her, but...
Her, yeah. Oops, cows are girls.
But, So this party goes missing. All they found was a broken bow. Now, those of you who don't know, bows are not easy to break. They're often, they take hours to make. They're often made of, but they have to bend. So they're hard to break. They're designed to be bent. So all they found was a broken bow. Well, they also found some unopened tins of food, some camping equipment. But keep in mind, that's all they found. No bodies, no nothing. Until a fisherman found a corpse in the lagoon nearby with no head or right arm.
Oh, nasty.
And then they found more bodies. Not just of these three hunters. They started finding more and more bodies of missing people in the rivers, in the lagoon, in the woods.
Wow, I'm picturing the opening scene in Game of Thrones in that first episode.
Yeah.
Nasty. Wow. So what year was this again?
This was in the 1930s to 40s during World War II.
Okay.
And no, there weren't any Nazis up there. I double checked.
Okay. So it wasn't them.
And it did not look like, the vets... And the doctors know what a bear attack looks like. This did not look like a bear attack. It looked like someone had ripped the flesh off instead of bitten it off.
Nasty. Blech.
So it was in the 1950s when the locals decided it was time to go. The majority of the town was left. And behind them, they left were old cabins, the cannery, and something in the woods. But the reports don't stop there. In 1973, some three hunters took shelter there in a three-dune storm, and they all claimed that something was walking around their tent at night and walked on 2 feet, and they left food out for it. And it all did was ate the food and left them alone.
Huh.
And in 1990, there's this story. This is, you know...
1990,
there's stories
about. Wow. This thing lived a long time, whatever it was.
There was a paramedic working at Anchorage, and he got called out to an alarm for a man having a heart attack in the state jail in Eagle River. And he was native in his 70s. Got him stabilized, and they transported him to the native hospital there in Anchorage. And he was a Aleut from Port Graham, which is a nearby community. And they were talking about that area, and one of the paramedics had been to Dogfish Bay and once wetted up there. And the old man sat up, man had a heart attack, grabbed this paramedic, pulled him close to his face, and said, "Did you see it?"
What?
And the paramedic said, "No, I didn't. My brother saw it. It chased him."
Mm.
So there are dozens and dozens of eyewitnesses' accounts of this thing chasing people, hurting people, killing people.
Okay. We have technology today that maybe we didn't have. Well, we for sure didn't have in the 20s and 30s. Probably maybe had it in the 90s. Why can't we do like a heat thermal searching thing?
Well, for one thing, that stuff's expensive.
Yeah, but this is like... This could be Sasquatch we're talking about. Like
two, find it? You have to find someone with... extensive, I mean, you would have to get someone to move a satellite. I can't believe I forgot that word. Wow. What's wrong with me?
Argentinian wine.
Move a satellite, which costs millions of dollars, to move it to look for Bigfoot in a wooded area that may not get penetrated. It might be the trees might stop the...
So...
So
but not. What about, like, you know, like you fly a helicopter over, like you're looking for, like, a fugitive?
So I have a buddy that works in, he works in geography. Actually, I know about this stuff because I was a sociology major and did anthropology and archaeological studies. And I have a buddy who is a geography major as well. Those rays you're talking about are not going to get past tree cover that effectively. They can, but top of that, you have to
convince someone. Well, how convenient for this monster.
How convenient for this monster. It's probably dead now if it did exist.
Yeah, maybe. Well, what cool stories, though. Freaky stories, but cool stories.
They're very freaky. And I do want to say that people did die, so we should take that seriously.
Well, yeah.
I mean, but you think there'd be a series of investigations about this, or at least a couple horror movies.
You think there would be, yeah.
But I think that's why the whole town left. Because they're just like, this stuff ain't stopping. We can't figure out what's going on, so
bye. Right, not worth it. We're leaving. Yeah.
You know, and it's real. It really did happen. There's YouTube videos of people going up there. They didn't leave, you know, a lot of times we say, oh, what happened to the Anasazi people? They all disappeared. They're an Indian Native American people, all just up and disappeared one day, and then went and carved these cities into cliffs that were very defendable, like some enemy came out of nowhere, and we can't find any evidence of the enemy either. Hmm. Like, if the Aztecs, say, invaded them, we would know there'd be evidence, but there's no evidence.
Hmm.
So we don't know, you know, so what happened to the people? There's
maybe society. I wonder if an alien accidentally got left behind.
Maybe.
But the mothership left, and it's like Stitch, only hairy and mean.
You're getting some ancient alien stuff there.
Maybe.
But my point being, we know what happened here. There's still eyewitnesses. This happened, you know, 70 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just crazy. Part of me wants to go up there now. Part of me
totally.
Part of me wants to like fly up there and like find Melania and go, did this happen?
Right. Show me where.
But yeah, there's still like record. I think there's a sighting in 2011 that I didn't get into.
Hmm.
So it's pretty crazy. But here's the thing. I have seen pictures of men in beaver suits look just like a Sasquatch in the dark.
Oh, really? Yeah.
You know, so it could have been a serial killer in a beaver suit, beaver skins. It could have been an actual animal we don't know about.
Yeah.
It could have been a supernatural, or it could have been just there's something called a sympathetic herd illusion.
Never heard of that.
Basically, people talk about it and they manifest it as real. For instance, there's lots of, in the Midwest, there's lots of, you know, great cats that kill dogs and stuff. Well, really, this never happens. So, there could have been that, or it could have been an actual, who knows.
Yeah. So many things. So many possibilities.
That is a theory, by the way. A theory that Bigfoots or Big Feet or whoever their plural is are actually extraterrestrial beings.
Cool.
Makes more sense than half the things I hear. But that's a real animal, by the way.
What is?
Bigfoot. I think it's called Gigantus Arthropithecus.
Get out of here.
There were giant hairy men. And they were real, but, you know, 60,000 years ago, I think. A ridiculous time. Like, they weren't, I don't think they existed the same time as human beings for a very long time. If I remember correctly, if they did exist at the same time as human beings, so maybe there's something in the genetic memory. And a lot of native people in Canada and that area treat them as a real being. They generally believe it's a real being, so. But
well,
could be
yeah,
something,
I mean,
who knows? Everything from genetic memory to aliens
fire.
To sympathetic herd delusion. I just like saying that word. Sympathetic herd delusion.
I've learned so much today. Thank you, Wine About History, for expanding my mind. Yeah. Thank you, Max.
And I know we promised to do the Cray Brothers.
Yeah,
but
we did.
I got sucked into this. So I love a lot of YouTube channels. I'm going to do a shout out to this one. I don't want to do bedtime stories. He covers a lot of really fun, interesting events, everything from alien sightings to stuff like this, to the Dogmen of Michigan, to haunted he's really interesting. And I heard this and I said, I got to do my own show on it. So I did a bunch of research. I turned it off because I didn't want to listen to it. So I did a bunch of my research, and almost every a news article or thing I found matched with what he said, too.
Wow.
So he did his research too. So I shout out to, if you like this stuff, go over to YouTube, put in the comments, Max from Wild History sent you, and like and subscribe to him. He's great.
Huh, cool. I'll have to check it out. I haven't heard of it. There's so much good stuff on YouTube.
Yeah, shameless plug.
Spend all day on YouTube. But
I do.
I have to work and stuff like that. Make a living.
Ugh.
Clean the house, to cook dinner, stuff like that. Otherwise, I'd be on YouTube.
Walk the dog, go buy wine for the podcast.
Not that I mind any of that stuff, but yeah.
Oh, we all do, don't lie. Yeah. like I love to shop. I love to shop, even mundane, like, I gotta go get milk. I like it, I enjoy that. But I had to do it today. I was like, I don't want to get milk. I just want to stay inside and play video games.
Yeah, I know. Plus, it's a little dangerous.
It's a little dangerous right now. Yeah.
Going out, you gotta be gloved and masked and the whole deal. So, all right, is that gonna do it for us?
That's gonna do it. We are going to cover the Cray twins, and I have a rumor. I heard a rumor that we may have a guest host soon.
I would like that.
Yeah.
I would like to hear some.
Less work for you and me.
Well, it's not that. I just like hearing other angles and opinions about stuff. So.
Well, we've rambled on enough. If you can't tell, that wine was really good.
It's all gone now. Minnesota goodbye going there, didn't we?
It's all gone. I'm sure you're drinking it all. So, thank you so much for listening. And remember,
if it weren't for history, we wouldn't be here. Bye, everybody.
Bye.